If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians, chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. This morning I want to talk to you about a subject that is very near and very dear to me. I want to talk to you just a few minutes concerning the subject of adoption. By way of introduction, let me tell you a true story. Almost 60 years ago, there was a young married couple who had been married for 14 years, and they had tried again and again to have a child to no avail. They were unable, and they wanted a child desperately. And without going into any great detail, they were made aware of a young lady who, out of wedlock, was expecting a child. And almost immediately, they made contact with the expectant mother, and arrangements were made for adoption, and all the details were worked out, the child being not yet born. They agreed to pay all the young lady's medical expenses. They provided and paid for her living arrangements until the child was born. And I suppose it would be a good time to tell you that I was that child. That's why adoption infinitely means something to me. Adoption is a choosing. Maggie and Leo Edmondson purposed in their mind and in their heart to adopt a child before I, the child, was ever born. I certainly didn't have any say in the matter. I was oblivious to all that they purposed and all that they planned. And it's the same with the adoption of God's elect and God's children. The redeemed child of God has nothing to say in the matter. What makes sinners think in any way that they participate in their salvation? The Lord Jesus said plainly, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you." And that's plain, simple, and direct. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. See, only God creates any fruit of repentance in a sinner. Only God can create a desire in dead sinners to be made alive. Paul said, we give thanks to God for you. Who do you give thanks to, Paul? To God. Because he hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We give thanks to God. It's God that has chosen you, called you, saved you by his grace. And the scriptures are just so plain, direct, simple in the explanation of how sinners are redeemed. For by grace are you saved, Paul said. For by grace are you saved through faith. And even your faith is not of yourselves. Ephesians 2:8, read it. For you're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's God's gift to the sinner. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved because of our good works. We're saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I wish folks could understand that salvation is not what we do for God. It's not. But it's what God has done for us. For God so loved that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is believing, trusting, finding all you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not what you do, it's what he did for you. John, the beloved apostle, he said so plainly and so simply, I just can't fathom how men make this so difficult. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. If you have Christ, you have life. And he said, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Don't make this message hard. There's no life apart from God's Son. God did not make salvation possible. He didn't. God made salvation certain. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation is on purpose. God is a God of purpose. God does everything on purpose. God saves his people on purpose. Now, my earthly adoption was most certainly for my good. My parents dedicated their life. Wonderful, wonderful parents. They dedicated their life to do good for me. They really did. They wanted only good things for me. Those of you that have loving parents or had loving parents, you know that to be so. Sharon, you know that to be so. How glorious are those words, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Called. Called of God. Adopted. Chosen. For whom he did foreknow. The scriptures are so plain. My parents made me their own before I was ever born. They willed to do so. They determined to do me good all the days of my life. But let me ask you, those of you who know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, how much more so is our adoption and election of God in the Lord Jesus Christ precious? God purposed to adopt you into his kingdom. He set his affection on you before the world ever was. And in the fullness of time, he drew you by his grace. God's the one exception. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. God's the one exception. God is the exception. We read here in verse 5, Apostle Paul writes, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And the child of God rejoices in his heart. Adoption is a choosing. Adoption is not a work done by us. Adoption is an act of grace done for us. It's an act of grace done without us. We had no say in the matter. And I'm so glad of that. You know why I'm glad of that? If there's something that I can do to be saved, then there is most certainly something I can do to be lost. But I can do nothing to be saved, and I can do nothing to be lost. And some may say, well, you have to believe, for you're saved by grace through faith. You have to believe. God enables you to believe. The scriptures compare us to being dead. When you were without God, without hope in this world, dead in trespasses and sin. What can a dead man do? What about the will of a dead man? He has no will. God has to breathe into man the breath of life for him to become a living soul. Adoption is an act of grace. Election is God's choosing. I can do nothing to be saved, and I can do nothing to be lost. Adoption is an act of free, sovereign grace. I had no say in my adoption with my earthly parents. I had no decision in the matter. I hadn't been yet born. My parents chose me. And if you're one of God's elect, God chose you. That's what makes our adoption so beautiful, so precious, so wondrous to us. God chose us according to the good pleasure of his will. God gets all the glory in the choosing of his people. He won't share his glory with another. Not unto us, the psalmist wrote, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. Why? Because God does the saving. You and I did the sinning. God does the saving. Moses said, Lord, show me, I beseech you, I beg you, show me your glory. God said, okay, Moses, I will. He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass by thee. He said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's what God's glory is. It's proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel message. This is God proclaiming the name of the Lord. This is God's glory. On several occasions, God spoke from heaven and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's where God's pleased. If God ever loved you, that's where he's going to love you, in Christ. That's where God loves sinners, in him. This is my beloved Son. In him, and him alone, am I well pleased. God is pleased and well pleased, I might add, with his Son. It's in Christ alone that God is pleased. It's only in Christ. And God told Moses, he said, in Christ, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. That's my glory. God has the right and the prerogative to save whom he wills. The child of God rejoices in the fact that God wills to have mercy on anyone. All are undeserving. All of us deserve hell and eternal condemnation. The fact that God would have mercy on anyone is amazing grace. How amazing is the thought that God would have mercy on any. God loves his people only in Christ. God chooses his people only in Christ. God calls his people only in Christ. And God saves his people only in Christ. His love, his mercy, and his grace is only in Christ. Now, I remember after I was grown, a man had children of my own. After my parents were deceased, one of my aunts told me that when my mother and father brought me home from the hospital, just 5 days old, a newborn, that my mother told her that I was just perfect. Well, we know that's not so. The affections of a loving parent are often blind. But child of God, hear me well when I tell you that when your heavenly Father saw you, you were polluted in your own blood. You were discarded out in a field, left to die. And the scripture said he spread the skirt of Christ's righteousness over you, and he covered your nakedness. The God of heaven and earth entered into a covenant with you, and he looked upon you with only the love that he has for his only begotten Son. And he said these words, and I'm telling you, they ought to thrill your heart. He said, "Thou art mine. You're mine." What an adoption. What a redemption that we have in Christ. It was an act, a choosing of God's pure, free, sovereign grace, found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been chosen in Him. Don't miss those two blessed words. According, verse 4, as He hath chosen us, where? In Him. Before the foundation of the world. When? Before you were ever born. Before you'd ever done any good or evil. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of him that willeth, but of God who showeth mercy. God chooses us, He elects us, He calls us, He loves us, He adopts us in Him, and only in Him. Verse 5, having predestinated us, and that word predestination simply means determined beforehand. God determined beforehand to adopt us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, don't miss these words, by Jesus Christ to Himself. That's how we're adopted, by Him, through Him, in Him, according to the good pleasure of His will. It's God that does the saving. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, watch this, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Christ is God's Beloved. That's where we're accepted, no place else. Verse 7, those first two words, in whom? Salvation's in a person, friends. It's not in doing. It's in a person in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace. How can anyone read these verses and not say salvation's of the Lord? Before you were ever born, before you ever did any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Paul said, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And your adoption into the kingdom of His dear Son is not by works of righteousness that you've done, but according to His mercy He saved you. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. Now, how ridiculous would it be for me to say that my parents adopted me because they foresaw that I would be a good son? Well, you'd say, well, that's just nuts. You're right. Yet that's exactly what men and women say about our sovereign and amazing God. They said God looked ahead in time, and that He chose and elect sinners because He looked ahead and foresaw that certain men and women would be holy, righteous, and faithful. But that's not so. God makes His chosen holy, righteous, and faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is holy, righteous, and faithful. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And friends, now some 60 years later, I think back on all the sacrifices that my parents made for me, and I'm so grateful. Oh, I wish they were still here where I could truly tell them. They would have done without, and oftentimes did, so that I could have. They worked hard all the days of their lives to see that I wanted for nothing. When I was sick, they pitied me. When I was in need, they provided for me. When I needed correction, they spanked me. They chastened me. And my mom used to always say, I'm doing this because I love you. And I never quite figured that one out. But I understand now. But your Heavenly Father, when you were sick, even dead in trespasses and sin, He healed you and gave you life. When I had nothing, God provided all that I needed and all that He required. In love, He chastens me, for the Scriptures say, He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him. For whom the Lord chasteneth, loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And the writer of Hebrews said, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, as daughters. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Friends, my parents would have died for me, but my God did. My God did. God the Son was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made in the likeness of men, yet without sin. And He was made sin. He was made sin. Scripture said, for He was made to be sin. Those two words to be are italicized. You take them out of the original language. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only righteousness that I have before a thrice holy God is the righteousness that He gave me in Christ. The righteousness that Christ made me, the very righteousness of His Son. And God now looks at me and He says, son, son. I used to love when my dad would say, son, come here. Son, would you go get that for me? I loved it. How much more so when God calls us sons and daughters, adopted into the kingdom of His dear Son. We find those precious two words again, in Him we are made the righteousness of God, in Him. Turn back just a page or two to Galatians 4. Let me just read you a few verses here and I'll wrap this up. Galatians chapter 4, just back a page or so. Look at verse 1. Paul says here, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And Abba means Father. Father. Father, Daddy, it's not disrespectful. I love when my children used to call me Daddy. Daddy. Oh, that got my ear. Daddy. And I remind you of the blessed benefits that come with the adoption of grace and this blessed inheritance. As a child of God adopted in His kingdom, dear sinner, you have continual access. You have continual access to your Heavenly Father. Growing up, I never thought about having to ask my parents for permission to come into their house. Not one. I lived there. Their house was my house. I never had to knock on the door. I had free access. Even when I was grown and married and had a place of my own, my parents gave me a key to their house. Here's your key. they said. Here's your key. They gave me access to everything that they had. Child of God, do you have a need or of something from God? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, your adoption has and gives you this blessed benefit of access. Come. If you have need, come to the throne of grace. Boldly come. You don't have to knock. Come boldly into the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy, that you may find grace to help in time of need. We're no more servants, sons and daughters, heirs of God. That's what we just read. Heirs of God through Christ, joint heirs with Christ. And when my parents left this world, all that was theirs became mine. Now, I was their only child. I was their heir. All they had became legally mine. Oh, they didn't have much, but all they had was mine. They left a last will and testament, and it was all mine as a benefit of my adoption. Adoption legally made me their child. Adoption legally made me their heir. I don't know all the legal reasons, but I discovered later on in life that when my natural mother gave birth to me, for some legal reason, according to the adoption, she had to carry me out of the hospital. She did. And physically then hand me to my mother and father. I don't know the details as to why, but I do know that was the case. And a couple years ago when Teresa and I went to Mexico, I had to get a passport. And in order to get a passport, you got to have a birth certificate. And I couldn't find mine. Hadn't seen it for years. So I started digging through some of my mother's things and to find my birth certificate. And I found this piece of paper. I could tell it wasn't an official birth certificate, but it was a makeshift certificate that the hospitals gave at that time to show your name, when you were born, how much you weighed, time of day or night you were born, that type of thing. And the name on that certificate was Baby Wells. And I looked at that and I thought, whose is this? And then it occurred to me it was me. I had no first name, so I was Baby. And my natural birth mother's name was Wells. Baby Wells. Well, why do you mention that, Brother David? Well, I mention it for a very good reason. When I left that hospital, I had no name. I was a nobody. Nobody. But when I received my official legal birth certificate from the state, boldly, it was written on there, name David Edmondson. When I received that official legal birth certificate from the state, I was once without a name, but my adoption gave me my father's name. My adoption officially made my father's last name mine. And friends, our adoption into God's kingdom gives us his name. Why, what are you called? You're called the children of the living God. You're called the elect of God. You're called the redeemed of the Lord. Thou art mine. You're mine. And my earthly parents gave me their name, but let me tell you something. My God gave me his nature. You think about that. He was made sin so that I might be made righteous. What a last will and testament that is. Oh, my. My earthly parents endeavored to teach me to be self-sufficient, but my heavenly Father, he's teaching me to be totally dependent on him. I'm totally dependent on His Son. And on that great day of judgment, the redeemed of the Lord will not stand and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? No. If they do, they'll hear these words, I never knew you. You were never mine. I never adopted you. Friends, I'm not going to offer God my heart. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The scriptures say that my heart is only evil and only evil continue. Not going to offer God my heart. But I am going to offer God His Son. You see, Christ is that sweet smelling savor. My Heavenly Father provided Himself as a sacrifice. He's the altar. He's the sacrifice. He's even the high priest who offers it up unto Himself. Christ is all. Do you see that? He's all and in all. And what am I? Well, I'm a wretch. In and of myself, I'm a sinner. I came forth from the womb speaking lies. But in Him, I'm an heir. An heir of God through Christ. I did nothing to deserve the inheritance of my earthly parents and friends. We most certainly do not do anything to deserve our eternal inheritance. If we did, it would not be grace. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. And let me say this lastly. Because of all the things that my parents did for me, it brought about some definite results. I depended on them when I couldn't depend on anyone else. I knew I could always depend on my mother and father. Always. I trusted them when others could not be trusted. And I loved them greatly, but it was because they first loved me. And these things are a definite result of the believer's adoption. How much so should we depend, trust, and love our Lord who loved us and gave Himself for us? Trust Him. Depend on Him. Love Him. He first loved you. We love Him because He first loved us. John said, herein is love, not that we loved God, no, but that He loved us. Oh, be encouraged. Be encouraged, child of God, for your Heavenly Father says, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Rejoice. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. All that is God's is now yours. Oh, and I tell you what, the child of God's not looking forward to the pearly gates and the streets of gold and the mansion. They're looking forward to seeing Him face to face. Christ is our inheritance. He's our reward. That's the best news I ever heard. I believe that's the gospel.